Gifts. Give. Well, you ready for the word today? I mean, we are so privileged to be able to have a place like this and to hear the teaching of the word in a free atmosphere. Amen. I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. And we're going to talk to you today about faith that endures. All right? You know that in order for you to receive the inheritance that God promised you, how many know that you're going to have to endure some things? You're going to have to persevere. Has anybody other than me found out that things come up in life that you didn't plan for, you didn't expect, you know, they just kind of came out of the blue, and you're like, where did this come from? Why did this happen to me? What's going on? But there are things that we have to endure sometimes. But you know what? If you endure, there is a reward and a prize waiting for you at the end. All right? And so something that's going to help you endure are faith and patience. These are two twins that kind of work together. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says this, that you be not slothful, other translations say lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So that tells me, in order for you to possess the promises or to inherit the promises, you're going to have to go through faith and patience to get there. Amen? Faith and patience are two doors to your promises. They are two pathways in order for you to get the fullness of what God promised you. Amen? Now, some people, they don't endure. Therefore, they don't get the promise. See, if you, I'm going to illustrate that in just a moment. So the Bible says here that you have to have some determination. Now, the Amplified talks about having the same diligence and sincerity all the way through. Everybody say, all the way through. From start to finish. All right? You've got to have the attitude. See, in order for your faith to work, remember we've been talking about faith. Faith is a persuasion. Faith is a conviction. Faith is a full assurance, something that you're absolutely convinced of. You're going to have to maintain your conviction and your persuasion from starting point all the way to the ending point. Now, if you stop, if you lose your persuasion along the way, you're not going to get to the promise. If something comes along that persuades you in a different way, in a different belief, then you're not going to get what you start. You got to maintain your belief. Amen? Once you've made up your mind to believe God, you got to not change your mind. You've got to stick with that decision to believe God all the way through. You've got to follow through. All right? And so through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. And Amplified also says that enjoying the full assurance and the development of your hope. How many know that your hope can develop? All right? Your hope can get stronger and stronger. When you hear the word of God, hope can come to your heart, but it can get stronger. It can get developed. You know, faith is like a muscle. All right? Show me your muscles. Show your neighbor your muscles, you know? I like to say this. I have the same muscles that Sylvester Stallone has. And you look at me like, say, yeah, Pastor, right. I don't think so. No, really. We have the same muscles. It's just that his are more developed than mine. But the muscles are the same. But it's the development that makes the difference. And see, some people aren't wanting to develop their faith muscles. Now, if you have 10-pound faith and you're trying to lift a 100-pound burden, that's not going to work too well. What you have to do is you have to build your 10-pound faith up. You've got to take your vitamins. You got to eat your fruits and vegetables. You got to exercise. And it will get stronger. It will get bigger. Faith grows exceedingly. All right? So the bigger your faith muscle gets, the bigger burden, the bigger obstacle, the bigger thing that you can handle. All right? But you got to go through a development process. Go with me to Luke chapter 8. All right? Luke chapter 8. And we're going to talk about this for a minute. How many know that faith is like a seed? Anybody ever planted a seed before? I think it was 2 years ago, we got so excited. We planted our first garden. Two eggplant plants and two tomato plants. And thank God our tomatoes came in great. We actually got tomatoes. We had a little spot in our back. I'm not much of a green thumb person. So when you plant your first tomato plant and you actually get tomatoes on it, it's exciting. Oh, come on, be excited with me, amen? But now the eggplants didn't do so well because a bug got into the eggplants and it ate my eggplants. All right? But we got tomatoes. So you know that in planting a seed, there's a process. From the time that that seed gets into the ground till the time that you have fruit or a harvest from that seed. Okay? And in Luke chapter 8, he says this in verse 4. And he said, when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spoke by a parable or an illustration. A parable is something, is a natural thing that describes a spiritual truth, okay? And he said, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. And verse 9, his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? Verse 10, he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Who is it given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God? Say, you and I. We are given the privilege and the ability to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So I don't want you to walk around saying, oh, the Lord works in mysteries, you know, and I'm not a detective. But it's been given to you to know the mysteries. Okay? Now, verse 11, he begins to explain this parable. The seed is the word of God. All right? I need two volunteers. Just come on up. Just two volunteers. Come on up. All right? Elliot, you get on this end right here. And Bill, you get on this end right here. Okay? Now, he said, those that are by the wayside that hear, then comes the devil and takes away the word out of it. Okay, we're going to make Bill the starting point, okay? Bill has a need in his life, all right? And he hears the word of God about that need, okay? Let's say you deal with depression. Let's say you need joy, okay? So he comes to VCF. He hears Pastor Doug or Pastor Fiona do a message on joy, okay? Now the seed gets into his heart, okay? Now he said, now some seed fell on the wayside. That means it didn't get in to the ground. It's just, let's say that this is the seed, okay? Now the wayside, it doesn't get buried into the ground. See, the ground is your heart, okay? Now he heard the word. But the word didn't get inside. It's still on the outside, okay? And the Bible says when that happens, The devil just comes along and steals the seed because it's not planted. See, if you just lie the seed along the ground, animals are going to come and eat that seed, right? Okay? So if we don't allow the word to get in us, sometimes we come to a church service and the word is just on the surface, but it hasn't sunk in deep. It hasn't got in deep. How do you get it deep? You go home, you meditate, you think about, you confess, you study. And as you study, as you meditate, that word's going to go from the surface and it's going to get inside, into the ground. Okay? Why does this have to do with faith and patience? Because there's a process that we have to go through for the seed to develop in us. Okay? Those by the wayside, they hear, but then the seed is stolen. Now, there's some on the rock. When they hear, they receive the word with joy. All right? So, all right, here's the seed. Now be joyful. Woo! Yes! All right. Glory to God. Okay? They receive it with joy. But now they don't have a root. Plants are not going to do good without a root system. Okay? It's just barely inside. It didn't have time to let the roots branch out. Okay? Now what happens? Temptation. All right? He gets tempted. You know, oh, why don't you come over here, Bill? This is much better over here. Look at over here. This is much better. See, he gets tempted. Thank you very much. Just remain standing up here yet. What happens? That temptation now causes him to lose the seed because he's not enduring. He didn't go through faith and patience yet. He didn't go through the process has not been completed, but the process has been interrupted. All right? And too many times, see, the devil, why, if this seed wasn't so precious, why would he go through the time to try to steal it or try to stop you or try to stop the growth of it if it wasn't so precious? A thief is not going to go after something that's not precious or valuable. Okay, now, then some fell among the thorns. They heard the word, all right? But now he's so focused on the cares of the world and the lust for other things. Oh, the house bills. Oh, the medical bills. Oh, all this stuff. And these cares of the world come in and they choke the word. What does it say? It makes it unproductive. They haven't gone through the process of faith and patience to get to the promise. See, Elliot represents the promise. This is the goal. This is where we want to be. But to get to there, from there, there's a space. There's a process that we got to go through sometimes. The word of God is not automatic and it's not instantaneous every time. There were times when Jesus himself had to pray for people more than once. The man who was blind. Jesus prayed for him. He says, what do you see? I see men like trees. What did he do? He prayed for him again. Then his vision was clear. But too many times, we short circuit the process. Faith and patience is a process that we all have to go through to get to the promise. Now, there are some promises that occur instant because the process has already taken place. Did you know that you could speed up the process by how diligent you are? See, if he would have just resisted the temptation, the seed would have still been there. If he would have resisted having the cares of the world come in, if he would have resisted worry, the seed would have still been there, right? Okay, now, verse 15. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart. Okay, you got to have a good heart, good ground. Everybody say good ground. In order to produce the best harvest, you've got to have good ground. The ground or the heart. How do you receive the word? How do you allow the word to come into your life? All right? Do you give it your full attention? Proverbs 4:20 says, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let it not depart out of your mouth. Keep it in the midst of your heart, for they're life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. What if you're not looking for the word? You're not going to find it. Okay? Now, so you have a good heart, one that is conducive to growth. Say conducive to growth. Too many people resist growth. They think that they've gotten to a point where they arrived. Maybe they're very religious. See, religious people are self-righteous. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. And just like any relationship, a relationship grows. Okay? So Bill's got a good heart. He's got a heart that's conducive to growth. All right? It received the seed. And he counted that seed as precious. He counted that seed as valuable. He would do anything to get that seed in him. There is nothing that could stop Bill from getting that seed in him. If there was a crowd of people, he would make his way through the crowd to get to the seed. If he had to cut a hole in the roof, he would do so to get to that seed. That's how precious we've got to count the seed, the Word of God. It is the incorruptible seed. It cannot be corrupted. It's precious. It is the Word of God. It's forever settled in heaven. It is God's very Word to us. Now, then he has to hear the word. How does faith come? Hearing the word of God. So he's got a heart that's conducive. He heard the word, so the seed is on the inside. All right? Now, then the Bible says that they have to keep it. Everybody say keep it. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. You've got to keep the word from here to there. Okay, start making your way. See, you've made progress in your life. See the progress that he's made? The seed is germinating. The seed is growing. The root systems are developed, okay? So he's made progress. He's come this far by faith, okay? Then they have to keep it. You have to retain it. You have to continue it. Jesus said, "You are my disciples indeed if you continue in the word." See, through faith and patience causes you to continue. All right? You have to remember it. The Bible says, be not a forgetful hearer. How do you not forget the word? You do it. In order to not forget the word, you do it. All right? Too many people in the body of Christ have forgotten how to worship. Why? Because they don't do it. They're forgetful hearers on the truth about worship and how we're supposed to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and how we're supposed to honor him. We forget it because we don't do it. And when you don't do it, it's going to slip your mind. Now, after he keeps it, what's going to happen? He's going to bring forth fruit. Notice what it says? With patience. All right? So, he gets to the end result. This is the promise. He has gotten the promise. Now he has his joy. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you guys so much. But see, faith is like a seed. And there is a process. Faith has to come. Then it has to develop. You know, the Bible said, one time we were in, I think it was Fort Worth, Texas, and we were on a crusade. The church that I attended in Illinois, they had purchased 2 Greyhound buses. And they went into the inner cities all over major cities in this country. And we were in Fort Worth, Texas, and we would have a rally during the day, and we would go out into the streets at night to the worst neighborhood, okay? And during the rally, the Lord revealed a truth to me, and he said that faith is like pregnancy. And I said, okay. And he said, in order for a woman to be pregnant, there has to be a union together, right? There has to be a seed planted. That seed has to develop, all right? It takes 9 months for that seed to develop, all right? While that seed is developing, a woman cannot do hard labor. Why? Because if she does hard labor while the seed is developing, it might interfere with the development of that seed and cause a miscarriage. But see, there's certain things that she has to eat, certain things that she has to do, right? Am I talking truth, ladies? Help me out here. Okay? And what happens? That seed begins to grow, right? Now, let's say you go for an exam and they take a sonogram or whatever, ultrasound they call it now. What happens in an ultrasound? It shows a picture of the seed that's being formed on the inside, all right? If God were to take a spiritual sonogram or ultrasound, would the picture be formed on the inside of you of what you're believing God for? Would the picture, see, a woman who is pregnant is going to have a child. That picture will show an image of a child, right? It'll show arms, legs. So sometimes it doesn't show, but, you know, you get the point. Would God, if God were to take an ultrasound of what you're believing for, would what you're believing for, would the picture on the inside of you be the same as what you're believing for, is what I'm saying? If a woman is carrying a child, there's going to be a picture of a child, right? If you're believing God for healing, would there be a health picture on the inside of you? All right? Anyway, faith is like pregnancy. And sometimes there's a process that we have to go through to get the promise. Not all the time. Sometimes that process is quickened supernaturally, all right? Because we don't know all the time what people have been doing to their ground to prepare it for the seed. You've got to prepare the ground for this. You know, there's a lot of people who spend time at home preparing their ground for the seed. They worship, they pray, they study at home every day. When you do that, guess what? That ground is developed. So when you come to where the seed is, boy, there's a connection right there. You're already in agreement with the seed, and so the seed has already got a way to come in. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Does that make sense for you today? I don't want you to come to church and say, "Ooh, that was too complicated." Listen, a four-year-old ought to be able to get this. So I ought to be able to explain it in a way where a four-year-old can understand. Romans 4, verse 19. It's talking about Abraham. And he said, being not weak in faith. If the Bible says not being weak in faith, then there's a possibility that you could be weak in faith. All right? He considered not his own body now dead. All right. Let's go back a little bit. Abraham received the word of God. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. You're going to increase. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be multiplied. Genesis chapter 12, right? Okay? Now, Abraham had to go through faith and patience to inherit the promise of having a child. It took 25 years from the time that he was given that promise to the time that that promise came to pass. 25 years. And there were times along the way when Abraham was walking with God that he might have lost sight of what God told him back in Genesis chapter 12. There were times when all he could see was what he didn't have. And too many times as believers, we're focused on what we don't have and not on what we have. When Jesus went to feed 5,000 men, not including women and children, so you're talking about 10,000 to 15,000 people. They showed up for a meeting, they've been following him for days, and they were hungry. What are you going to do when 5,000 people plus show up for dinner? The Bible said to his disciples, "You feed them." And what was their response? Well, we could go out and spend this much money, but there's a little boy with a lunch. They looked for what they had, not what they didn't have. right? And God used what they had. That little boy sowed his lunch, his fish and chips, and he sowed it to Jesus. And what happened in doing that, that was an act of faith. You try to get a boy's lunch who's between about the ages of 7 and 9, you try to get their lunch. That's mine. You ain't getting my, it's my fry. What happened? They used what they had. Jesus received the seed. The seed was the little boy's lunch. Jesus' ground was so developed that when a seed would hit his ground, it would multiply so quick, so fast, because he was perfect. He had a perfect heart. His ground was so developed, so rich, so fertile, so ready, that once the seed hit that ground, it would multiply supernaturally. So that little boy's lunch became lunch for 5,000 plus people with leftover fragments, 12 baskets full. That it started off with just a few pieces of bread, a few pieces of fish, but it became enough to feed thousands with leftover. All right? How did that happen? It went through that process of faith and patience. So he was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. See, the deadness of Sarah's womb, his own dead body, could have been a temptation to get him off the path. It could have been a distraction. It could have stopped the process, all right? But he didn't allow that to stop the process. Why? Because he got to his Isaac. It doesn't matter how long it takes you to get to your promise. The point is, you don't want to let go of your conviction or your persuasion along the way while you're getting there. That's some good preaching. Now notice verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God. Stagger could also mean waver. Through unbelief. But he was strong in faith. How did he keep his faith strong? Giving glory to God. When you're dealing with a situation in life, whether it's sickness, whether it's lack, you hear God's word. God wants me to prosper. Okay, let's just deal with lack for a minute. All right? God wants me to prosper. But part of prosperity is having a good heart. What does it mean to have a good heart in prosperity? It means to be a giver, to have a giving nature. Okay? So you hear the word of God. Now, along the way, you're going to have opportunities to waver. That means to hold two opinions. All right? James 1, verse 6 through 8, talks about if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and does not hold back, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Because the Bible says, he who wavers is like the wave of the sea. He'll not receive anything from God. See? So if you're trying to hold two opinions, let's say your feelings and God's word, you can't hold to those two opinions. You're going to have to let one go in order for you to get to your promise. You can't hold on to what your feelings say and what the word says. That's like trying to take a bath in oil and water. All you do is come out greasy. Because oil and water don't mix. You're going to have to let go of what your feelings say, and you're going to have to become streamlined and only focus on what God's word says in order for you to get to the promise. But to do that, you're going to have to go through faith and patience. Everybody say patience. Patience. Isn't patience a fruit of the Spirit? Absolutely. Some people need to go back to their patience orchard and do a little cultivating. There's some weeds that have grown up in the patience orchard because we're so inclined to want things now. We got to have it now. Now, now, now. I want it now. Really? What, if you had it tomorrow, would it make that much of a difference between today and tomorrow? But see, for some people, they're so convinced of the now, they got to have it now, that they don't go through the process. And therefore, they don't get the promise. All right? Verse 21. So he kept his faith strong, giving glory to God. So along the way, when you feel your faith to get weak, you look to God. Lord, I give you praise and I give you honor. It's the highest form of prayer. That's how you keep your faith strong. When you feel your faith start to become weak, you praise God. You get your eyes off your circumstance. You shut your ears to any other opinion other than the Word of God, and you give God glory. That's how you strengthen your faith. Because it's going to take strong faith to get to the promise. You know, there were people who did not get the promise because they had weak faith or no faith. You look at the Gospels. You see where Jesus said, "You, O ye of little faith." With little faith, you can only do a little. But with big faith, you can do big. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. So Abraham went on a journey. He had a promise that he was going to be a father when he had no kids. Life came by. His body now dead. Sarah's body now dead. But he still had to keep the promise. What are you going to give me seeing I go childless? Come here, boy. I'm just paraphrasing. God took him outside, showed him the stars. He got his eyes off his circumstances. Sometimes God's got to change your location to get a different perspective on things. You know, sometimes when you're working on something, it's good to step back and to get a different perspective on things, right? Everybody ever had to do that? There were times when I was writing a sermon and I was so tired, and I go back and I was like, what kind of words were I using? I should have just taken some time off, cleared my eyes, and then started again. Go with me to Romans 8, chapter 8. Verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. Too many people, they want their promise to be something that they can see. But see, you've got to see it through a different vision. You've got to see it through faith. See, faith will see the promise. Faith sees the fulfillment of the promise. Okay? Hope that is seen is not hope. Why do we yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Excuse me. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, it's the evidence of things not seen. How do you know that you're healed? Because God said so. That's how I know. How do you know you're healed? Because God said so. How do you know you're healed? Because God said so. That's what you got. That is your only thing that you hold on to. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. All right? Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Verse 3, remembering without ceasing. Everybody say without ceasing. Notice they're remembering without ceasing. Your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. In order for the Thessalonians to know what manner of man Paul was, he must have spent some time with them. Right? He must have demonstrated his character, his integrity, his willingness to help and to serve. Okay? And they had to remember without ceasing. Can you say amen? Go with me to Romans chapter 14. And verse 12. It says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Is keeping an account a process? You got to record in your checkbook when you have income, right? But then you have to record when there's a withdrawal, right? If you don't record the withdrawal, you might forget about it. And what happens? You might write a check, and that check may go boing, boing, boing. And then at the end of the month, you have to reconcile. It's a process. Record, 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 and reconcile. And hopefully, when you get to this point, they equal one another. That means that you have maintained the process, right? We have to keep ourselves accountable to God. Amen? Did you know that God is keeping account? He listens to what you say. He sees what you do, and more importantly, he sees the motive behind what you do. There's nothing hidden from his sight. He hears the gossip. He hears the worry. He hears or he sees the things that are not done in faith. The Bible says anything not done in faith is sin. Because without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Okay? But through faith and patience. See, we're supposed to follow people who, through faith and patience, have inherited the promise. You want to pattern yourself after someone who demonstrates faith and patience. There's also another term in the Bible, steadfast, immovable, unshakable. You know what? When I worked in a bank, my manager used to tell me, he would say, Doug, you have a calming spirit about you. He would say that if something were to happen that was bad, people wouldn't know it because you're calming. He liked that in me. That brought a sense of stability. And, you know, we as Christians have to develop steadfastness. Too many people are Hershey Park Christians. And they're riding the roller coaster of life. They're going up and down, all around, sideways, barely hanging on, screaming, ah! That's how Christians live. Okay. That's how some of their attendance is, like a roller coaster. For the things of God. But you know what? Go with me back to Hebrews chapter 6. What you do with the seed of God's word is up to you. God will give you the seed. He'll give you the water. He'll give you the fertilizer. He'll give you everything that you need for that seed to grow in your life. But it's up to you how you handle your garden. God's not going to come in and pull the weeds from your garden for you. He'll correct us. He'll show us a better way. But he's not going to do the weed eating. All right? That's up to you. You have to pull the weeds from your garden, all right? Because, listen, this seed is the most precious substance in the universe. This is God speaking to you as an individual. People have given their life to preserve the words that God spoke to mankind. This book is still by far the number one best-selling book of all time. There is no other book that has even come close to the sale of this book right here. Why? Because this book is truth. This book is life. This book is light. This book is strength. This book is joy. This book is peace. This book is Jesus. This book is salvation. He wrote salvation down for us, that you know that you might be saved. He wrote it down. This God recorded his thoughts and his insight for us. Isn't that awesome? God thought of you so much that he recorded his word for you so that you could learn it. You could actually learn how Jesus said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," the mind of Christ. You and I can have the mind of Christ, which is really the Holy Spirit. We can think like God. We're made in his image and in his likeness. But too many times we allow the temptations, we allow the thoughts that are contrary to the word to take us off the path. We don't get to the promise because we're too messed up with the distractions along the way. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter how long you've been in church. Moses, it's not about how many years you've been in church. Moses served God. He walked with God. He tabernacled with God every day. But Moses got angry, and his anger disqualified him from getting into the promised land. You think that for all his service? No. See, it's not about good works. It's not about what you and I can earn. It's only about faith. It's only about our trust in God. It's not about good works. It has nothing. You don't receive anything from God based on good works whatsoever. It's not earned. If we could earn it through our good works, Jesus would have never had to come. Verse 15. Well, let's go back to verse 13. Of Hebrews 6. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you." When God says surely, he means it's going to come to pass. You either believe it or you don't. And so far, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Say, patiently endured. Notice it was after he patiently endured that he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, that confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, that's God's promise and his oath. God will not change. God cannot change. If God could change, I mean, the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. So everything that God says is true. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. See, here's what we got to do. We have got to lock in to what God says in his promise. All right? You know, think of yourself as a pilot. All right, I've got the target in sight. I'm locked on. You know, it shows that little X on the target. And once he's locked on, if he hits that button to fire, that missile's going to hit what it's locked on to. The missile will hit its target. We've got to let our faith is like a missile. And our trust in God is how we lock on, but we lock on to his promise. What did God say about this? I'm locked on to it. And you hit your button. I'm going to fire the faith missile. Boom, it hits the target that it was locked on to. So you better be locked on to the truth. If your faith is locked on to a feeling, you're not going to get the promise because it's going to hit the feeling that it's locked onto. You got to lock onto the promise. Your faith cannot be in what the doctor says, because that's what your faith will hit if that's where your faith is. Your faith has to be on the Word of God. And you can't let any distraction hinder you from getting to the Word. It's like faith and patience is like that pole that a high walker uses, you know, the people who walk on the tightrope. Faith and patience is like that balance. They're walking and they want to get from there to here. And that's you got to keep your balance with faith and patience. Faith and patience. Don't get impatient. See, the devil will try to get you impatient. If he can get you out of patience, he can hinder you from receiving the promise. Because it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promise. And look at verse 19. So God's hope is a strong consolation to us. All right? Verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. What does an anchor do to a boat? If you're experiencing stormy seas and you're in a place where you can let down your anchor, you let down that anchor, and that boat might go rock back and forth, but as long as the anchor's out, it's going to hold that boat in place. See, your hope is like that anchor. You've got to hold in place. See, the devil will try to bring storms. The storms will try to distract you from the promise. The winds blow. The rains come. But you know what? I got my anchor. Let the winds blow because I'm anchored in the Word. Because soon this storm will pass. And my anchor will have done the work of keeping me steady. See, an anchor keeps you in place. If you don't have your anchor, you'll be tossed like by the waves. But with the anchor in place, the waves can come over the boat, but you're going to be held in place. See, that's what faith is all about. It's about holding your place. Did you know that you can't put someone in your place in the faith line to hold your place for you? Would you hold my place in the faith line for me? Listen, I wish I could do that, but I can't do it for you. No one can do it for you. You've got to be anchored in God's Word for yourself. It's an anchor to the soul. Both sure and steadfast. That means firm. Which enters into that within the veil. Aren't you glad that Peter had an anchor to the soul, that when he denied the Lord three times and he realized what he did and he still showed up on the day of Pentecost? Aren't you glad Peter didn't quit after he denied the Lord? Aren't you glad he said, well, I can't be a Christian anymore. I've denied the Lord. Aren't you glad Peter, I'm so glad that Peter showed up on the day of Pentecost so that he could preach. Why? How did that happen? Because he had an anchor to his soul. Peter often did things spontaneously. It was a combination of spontaneous and Peter. They were getting mixed up. Peter often did things in a spontaneous manner. Speaking, cutting off the guy's ear, you know. But he had an anchor to his soul. Because there was a time when God said, Peter, can I borrow your boat? Peter said, sure. So he let Jesus use his boat as a pulpit. And he said, when Jesus was done preaching, he said, Peter, let down your nets. And Peter said, man, whew, I have toiled all night. But he said, nevertheless, at your word. He anchored himself in what God said. And what happened when he let down his net? He caught so many fish that it almost sank his boat. He had to call for help to his partners so that one boat couldn't handle all the fish that were caught. So in spite of Sometimes Peter was up and down. He still had an anchor to the soul. Because why? He became a great apostle. He brought the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. God used him to bring the Holy Spirit. Cornelius was the first one and his household to receive the Holy Ghost, just like they received on the day of Pentecost. If he had not anchored his soul, if Peter would have been distracted by his faults, by his shortcomings, he would not have gotten the promise to be what he ended up to be. We would not have 1st and 2nd Peter. We would not have a lot of things. But see, he went through faith and patience, and what? He inherited the promises. You will have to go through some things in life. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm going to avoid all struggles and trials. Yeah, right. Whoever told you that did not tell you the truth. But you know what? If you keep your eyes fixed on the Word, if you keep listening to what God says, and you keep walking with God, you keep hearing His voice, see, you let the Word water that seed, you let the Holy Ghost fertilize that seed, and what's going to happen? You're going to find, you're going to look back and you're going to say, look what the Lord has done. I was there, but now I'm here. I have the promise. I have what God said. What God said is manifest in my life. But too many people, the problem is, they quit. They don't want to go through faith or patience. They want to be distracted along the way. And they wonder why they never get to the promise. They wonder why they never have what brother so-and-so has or what sister so-and-so has. Because brother and sister so-and-so, they actually went through the process of faith and patience. They've endured some things. They went through some things. Faith that endures. You're going to have to endure some things to get to the promise. And you know, when you hear the Word, let it get into your heart. Don't just be a casual Christian. Hi, I'm casual Christian. My Christianity is just on the surface level. I don't get too deep into this. I don't get too deep. I'm casual Christian. But I'd rather be faithful Fred. I'd rather get deep into the things of God. You know, for me, I met the Lord when I was 12 years old, but then I backslid when I was 16. Because the church that I was going to, the pastor and his family, they were struggling financially, so they went back to where they came from. And I was kind of a sheep without a shepherd, hanging out with my high school friends, doing what they did. You know, I got taken off the path that God had for me. And for 2 years, I was wandering around in the wilderness, in darkness, because I wasn't anchored. I wasn't willing to go through faith and patience. I didn't have what it took to endure. Sometimes you got to endure some things. So you've got to have an endurance to say no to the flesh sometimes. And so when I got to 18, you know, I just realized that what I was doing was not working. And what I did was I went to the Christian bookstore and I bought a Bible. It was a Thompson Chain Reference. I was working, so I had money. I bought this Bible and I began to read it. And something happened. I began to fall in love with the Word. And I couldn't stop reading it. And by the way, I'm still reading it 29 years later. I would encourage you, those who really want to go through faith and patience to inherit the promise, you need to at least read a chapter a day of the Word of God. You have to have a steady intake of God's Word. Because this is the only anchor to your soul. If you're not spending time reading this book, you will never get to the promise. You've got to go through faith and patience. How does faith come? Hearing by the Word. You've got to go through hearing of the Word and being patient, knowing that God is working in order to get to the end result. You can't go through a week without hearing God's word. You can't really go through a day without hearing God's word. This is so important to basic Christianity. We've got to hear God's word every day, regularly. Sometimes, and especially when we're in a trial, we got to hear it more. When you feel a cold coming on, do you take a little bit of vitamin C? If you feel like cold symptoms coming on, you know, for whatever reason, your body is starting to experience cold symptoms, you just take a little bit of, no, you heap up the vitamin C. Give me the orange juice. Give me the lime. Give me whatever. Vitamin C. Ah. Why? Because that helps you overcome. The vitamin C helps you fight the symptoms. So in a time of trial, you really have to get into the word more. When things aren't going right, you really have to get into the, you have to take extra time to get into the word of God. Do you realize that if you're not following this book, God's not going to speak to you otherwise? If you're not doing what he said in the book, why does God speak to you? He has nothing to say to you that he didn't already say in the book. Until you start doing the book, then you'll get more. But if you're not doing the book first, forget it. You've already disqualified yourself. People think that they can be a Christian without reading the word of God. I don't understand that. That's like jumbo shrimp. It's like an oxymoron, right? Jumbo shrimp. Listen. I'm going to close with this. Go with me to John 14. You know what? During this holiday season, don't be afraid to say Merry Christmas to people. Don't say Happy Holidays. Say Merry Christmas. It's not about the presents under the tree. It's about the man who died on the tree and rose again. Listen, we should not let the world dictate to what the greatest holiday on this earth was. Amen. We need to be bold about it. Not rude, just bold. John 14, verse 21. He that has my commandments and, everybody say and, keeps them. Say keeps them. So it's one thing to have them. It's another thing to keep them. You got to do both. He it is that loves me. Wow, you show your love for God by keeping what he said. You really show how much you love God by keeping what he said. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. God loves those who hear his word and keep him. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How many want the Lord to manifest himself to you? Then one simple thing, hear the word and keep it. Hear it, keep it. Hear it, keep it. Do it, do it. Do it, do it. Hear it, keep it. Do it, do it. Yeah, 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 yeah. Got a little carried away there. It's from my rap days. And Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Wow. Verse 24, he that loves me not keeps not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. If trouble comes, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let the trouble get into your heart. Fight against the trouble with the word. Don't let your heart be troubled. He didn't say trouble won't come. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. How do you not let your heart be troubled? You stick with the word. When trouble starts coming, when trouble knocks on your door, you answer and say, it is written, I have peace that passes understanding. And trouble will say, ooh, wrong house. So do you see how important it is? When you hear the word, you've got to keep what you've heard. Keep what you've heard. Keep what you've heard. Distractions may come, but you got to keep what you heard. Temptations may come, but you got to keep what you heard. Other opinions may come, but you got to keep what you heard back there in order to get to the promise here. And if you do that, listen, if it wasn't possible, we wouldn't have Hebrews chapter 11, which is the great hall of fame of faith. Those are people who kept the word. Did you know Moses, when he realized that he was born a Hebrew, Hebrews 11 says that he left Egypt and he wanted to be among the slaves. He grew up in Pharaoh's house. He had the best education, the best food, life was good. But then there was something in his heart, and he gave up living in Pharaoh's house. He gave up the good life to become a slave with his people. That took some gut. He had to endure that, didn't he? But you know what? Moses was better for it. He came out better than what he would have been in Pharaoh's house. Because now we're going to see Moses in heaven. Listen, don't let anything get between you and the Word of God. Make a determination today that you're going to love the Lord and His Word and His Holy Spirit with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And if there's anything in you today that is keeping you from the word, if there's anything that you're doing in your life that is contrary to God's word, give it up today. Surrender it today. You can't put one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. It doesn't work that way. Be all or nothing. Amen? Give God your all. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that your word endures. It's trustworthy, it's faithful, it's firm, it's fixed, it's established, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that we have an understanding that it is through faith and patience that we can inherit your promises in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just pray over these people today, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would lead and guide them by your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that the power of your Holy Spirit would infuse their life today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just call upon you that you would show us great and mighty things in Jesus' name. And we commit, Father, to live for you, to walk with you, to worship you, to serve you, to follow after you with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength in Jesus' name. Amen. And if there's anyone here today that you're not born again, in other words, if something were to happen to you today, you would not know where you would spend the rest of eternity. I want you to know today. The Bible says you can know that you are born again. These things are written that you may know. God wants you to know. Amen. You can know with assurance that you're a child of God, that you're born again, that you're in the family of God. Is there anyone here that would say, Pastor, I don't know where I would spend the rest of eternity if something were to happen to me today? And just raise up your hand if there's anyone here. I want to give you that opportunity to meet the Lord, to accept him into your life, because he loves you so much. Why don't we just all stand up? There are only two ways that you can go in life. You can go the path of light or the path of darkness. Say this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I surrender my all to you. I give up all my stuff of this life that I may serve you and follow after you. Jesus is my Lord. I stand complete in Him. He meets all of my needs. I find great joy in serving Him. I will not quit. I will not give up. I will not move off the path that God has for me. I set my sights on Jesus. I will follow Him and do what He wants me to do in this earth, in Jesus' name. I will complete His will. I will do His work in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Let that be your cry of your heart today. Listen, you'll not regret it. The Bible says that if you put your trust in God, you will not be ashamed. The Christian life is the greatest life that one could ever live. Marie, I just feel led to pray for you. Can you just stand out here right now, please?